Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Megan Niederwerder, the Associate Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Niederwerder.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
As part of its monthly newsletter, the Swine Health Information Center has released its November Global and Domestic Swine Disease Monitoring Reports. First of all, what were the highlights domestically?
Domestically, we saw an increase in several of the endemic respiratory pathogens that affect the industry. We saw an increase in PRRS virus percent positive. We saw an increase in Mycoplasma pneumoniae, and we also saw an increase in influenza A virus. First, let's talk about PRRS. We specifically saw an increase in the wean to market phase. The increase was from 33% positive in September to approximately 39% positive in October. And we saw that specifically in the wean to market phase. We did not see a significant increase in the adult and sow farms. And so I think it's an important highlight here to talk about that fairly predictably every fall we see an increase in the PRRS virus percent positive first in that wean to market phase, and subsequently we see an increase in the sow adult breeding farm increase in PRRS. Right now we are only seeing the increase in the wean to market phase, which provides us an opportunity to hopefully prevent that spillover that we believe occurs every fall when we see an increase in PRRS virus in that wean to market phase prior to seeing an increase in the sow and breeding farm phase. And so it's an opportunity to enhance biosecurity and increase your biocontainment policies and procedures at the wean to market phase. The advisory group for the domestic swine disease monitoring program suggested that limiting the number of caretakers flowing in different grow finish sites could be a strategy that the industry can utilize to reduce spread of PRRS as well as reduce the likelihood of spillover that typically occurs in the fall months to those sow breeding farms. And so a highlight on PRRS there. We also want to talk about that there were specific states that saw these increases over three standard deviations of what was expected. That occurred in Nebraska and Missouri. And so again, highlighting those states, higher increase in the PRRS virus of those farms. Additionally, when we talk about Mycoplasma pneumoniae, there was a smaller increase from September to October compared to PRRS, but we saw it across both age groups. The advisory group highlighted that it's important to think about Mycoplasma pneumoniae elimination programs prior to these fall months, again, to reduce the respiratory pathogen pressure that we typically see in these fall months, and that those elimination programs would be most effective, again, prior to this increase in fall respiratory pathogens. When we talk about influenza A virus, we saw an increase again in both age groups that we're monitoring, both the adult sow as well as wean to market phase. And the advisory group highlighted that for influenza A management, it's important to start and complete that whole herd vaccination of influenza A prior to these colder months, again, to try and increase the immune response of those pigs to influenza A virus, thinking about that they will likely incur this increased respiratory disease pressure in the fall months.
What do producers need to be focusing on as we move into the winter months in regards to biosecurity as a result of these changes?
Yeah, I think one of the aspects that we have to consider is all of the environmental changes and potential impacts that that has on the respiratory health of the pigs. So you think about the seasonal pumping of manure going on. We think about dust from crop harvest. We can think about, of course, we've all seen these abrupt temperature changes going from cold to warm in the fall here. And this really increases that predisposition to respiratory pathogens. But there are certainly things that we can do to help protect our pigs prior to seeing these increase in respiratory diseases as we get into the colder months. One is considering that influenza A virus vaccination. So thinking about the currently circulating influenza virus in your herd, understanding it, typing it so that you're clear on what's currently being replicated in the herd, and then making sure that your vaccine program is effective to, again, provide that immune protection against influenza A virus. If you're Mycoplasma pneumoniae positive, again, thinking about considering those other environmental conditions, trying to reduce the disease pressure for the pigs in your herd, increasing biosecurity and biocontainment. So if you have a positive herd for PRRS virus right now, thinking about reducing the likelihood of spreading that virus to other grow finish sites through caretakers going from one site to the next, thinking about those typical protocols where we're trying to have some downtime between personnel movement, shower in and shower out protocols, site specific clothing and boots, and overall just trying to reduce, again, the personnel or equipment that is going from site to site in the grow finish. So we really want to think about this increased risk to our pigs right now for respiratory pathogens. And again, doing everything we can to help protect those pigs against severe respiratory disease that, again, compromises their production.
What are we seeing globally?
We've seen a few ASF outbreaks in new regions over the last month. One of the ones that was highlighted on the Global Disease Monitoring Report was that there was an outbreak in the Philippines to the Western Visayas region. This is an island region within the Philippines that had yet to be exposed to African swine fever virus since the Philippines were first infected in July of 2019. So that region of islands had maintained a negative status until just this past month. They had a semi-commercial swine farm that was affected. Approximately 311 hogs were culled due to this ASF infection. We also saw an outbreak in a Romanian herd, a fairly large commercial operation. Approximately 39,000 pigs were slaughtered in Romania due to the ASF introduction into this large commercial site. The other aspect of ASF that is important to highlight from the Global Disease Monitoring Report from this last month is that there were several occurrences of seizing illegal pork products at the borders of countries or within countries that had come from ASF affected areas. And so it's important to remind everyone that a major contributor to ASF spread long distance very quickly is through contaminated pork products from ASF affected countries. And so we saw this occur in Taiwan, where they confiscated 180 pounds of Vietnamese pork dumplings. We also saw this in the Philippines itself. They have tried to prevent ASF contaminated pork products from traveling or being transported to new regions of the Philippines. And they confiscated 1,400 pounds of pork products from regions within the Philippines with confirmed ASF cases that, of course, were going to new regions that they confiscated to prevent spread throughout that country. We also saw this occur in Thailand, where they confiscated 20 pounds of pork sausages that had come from Vietnam. And we also saw in the UK that over a single weekend of inspections, they confiscated 2.5 tons of illegal pork products that had come from ASF-affected countries. And this included Romania, Moldova, the Ukraine, and Poland. So from those countries, the pork products were intended to go into the UK, 2.5 tons. And so it's an important reminder that the biosecurity at the border is extremely important to prevent illegally imported pork products from countries with ASF. It's also important to remind everyone that, again, those pork products maintain the virus for very long periods of time. It is very difficult to inactivate the virus in contaminated pork products. And so it's an important reminder as an industry that prevention of the movement of pork products is very important to preventing ASF from entering countries that are currently naive or negative for the virus.
How can anyone interested get more information on either the domestic or global swine disease monitoring reports?
Both reports are available on our website, swinehealth.org. And then you can go to the link of disease monitoring reports. And these monitoring reports are put out once monthly. But if you have an interest in seeing more real-time or near real-time data, specifically domestically, we have that as part of our swine disease reporting system. And there is a dashboard that is updated daily with regards to the endemic disease detection at five of the veterinary diagnostic labs in the US. And so that data is updated daily. And then we put together these reports on a monthly basis that again are held on the swinehealth.org website. And some of the aspects of what I've highlighted here today are absolutely described and even shown in figures in more detail on these monitoring reports. So I encourage your listeners to go on to review the reports themselves for the full detail.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think that we can't stress biosecurity enough for some of the things we've talked about here. And it's really an opportunity, I think, for our industry to hopefully prevent that spillover of PRRS virus in particular into the sow breeding farm. So again, thinking about biosecurity, not only is bioexclusion or prevention of disease entry into the farm, but also thinking about if you are at a site that you know is infected with one of these endemic diseases, really considering how you can help the industry with biocontainment or maintaining that virus only on a single site after it's been infected and preventing spread throughout the industry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Megan Niederwerter, the Associate Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.